Today, I slept until 11 o'clock in the morning. I walked down to the cafe, down the mountain, and from there, a half mile along the train tracks, where I was told the cafe would be open. But it wasn't open. Then I walked to the market, a few blocks away, that I was told might be open, but it wasn't. There was no food at the house. Lily the cat and I had eaten all that was left, the Hungarian beef stew, cooked by a Hungarian free noise musician named Balázs. He came by the other night and cooked this wonderful food for us. Balázs and I had so many friends in common, we just kept talking and it didn't end. We talked so much about this person or that. We talked so much, the other said, "We'll be upstairs, Mark. We'll see you when you're ready." Anyhow, I was staring there in front of the store thinking, I guess I'm gonna have to find some edible berries or something, or I'll call Peter, the owner of this place that I'm staying in. But I've been high maintenance enough for him. Plus, he seems to be in Budapest a lot. And I was thinking, what's Lily the cat gonna eat? I could call my new friend Balázs, but he lives in Budapest. I'm a man, a grown man. I gotta figure something out on my own. So I put my computer bag down. My stomach was growling, louder than Lily's purr. I thought, whoa, what in the fuck am I gonna eat today? Just when that thought came to me, a car slowed down. A woman in the driver's seat, a child in the passengers. I'd seen that she dropped off a man at a park during my walk. This is a small town, a ghost town on Sunday. There were maybe 3 to 7 people I saw during the day today. She rolled her window down and said, "Can I please ask you something? You seem lost. How can we be of help?" "Well, it's complicated. I'm staying up the mountain, and I'm carrying this computer bag because the Wi-Fi at the Airbnb sucks. I was gonna have lunch at the cafe where the Wi-Fi is good. But it's closed, and the market is closed. Is there any place I can get some food?" "Yes, there is," she said, "in the main part of town. It's maybe a 15-minute walk." "You seem sort of lost, sir." "I'm not lost. I know my way around this part of town like I know my own backyard. It's just that everything is closed." "Well, we'll give you a ride into the main part of town, if you'd like."
"Really?"
"Yes, please, get in." She drove me into the main part of town, to a market where I got bottled water, bread, salami, cheese, yogurt, and ramen. Just beside it was a tobacco shop where I got cigarettes. I then walked back to her car, got in the back seat, and asked if she could please at least drive me back to the park where I saw her dropping off this man, and that I'd make it up the hill from there on my own. "Of course," she said. "Who was that guy?" I asked. "My ex-husband. A lot of exes around here. Can I please ask, why is he your ex?" She told me why, but I don't feel the privilege to tell you exactly what it was. But I asked her, "Please give me one example, just one." She told me 2 to 3 things, and the combination made sense. As she went on, I learned that she's the breadwinner of the family, the one who puts food on the table. She told me that she did accounting for a company that I really couldn't connect the dots about. Then she told me about her daughter, that her daughter was afraid to leave the house, to go out into the real world, and that she needs to be nearby her mother at all times, and that her daughter is very sensitive. "Whoa. You're the definition of strength," I told her. "Thank you," she said. "How far are you staying up the mountain?" she asked me. "Well, by foot, it's pretty far. By car, I don't know. I've never driven a car. Maybe a few minutes. I really have no idea. Please just get me back to the park where I saw you drop off your ex. I can make it up the mountain on my own, really. Let me please drive you to where you need to go. You've got a computer bag, and now you've got 2 grocery bags to carry." "Thank you for observing that," I said. She drove me up the mountain, as the car moved along. She asked what I was doing in town. I explained my quagmire of a life to her in the simplest way possible. I play music. I'm recording here with a band called Amoeba. I'm a vocalist, or maybe a singer or something. I don't know. Never mind. I'm making music up in the mountains. Music, she said. I know very little about the subject of music, though I do love photography. Please tell me which roads to drive on while I get you back to where you're staying. Okay, I'll show you. It's easy. We're gonna drive until we see a white Caterpillar farm machine. Take a right there. No, not a right. I mean a left. And then we'll drive by a house with red roses in the front yard. Then left again. And then, when I see a woodshed, it's another left. And oh, by the way, I also know very little about music. Just when I think I got it all figured out, I realize I know nothing about it. Yeah, never mind. At that point, we arrived at the parking space of the Airbnb. I got out of the car and said, hold on. I'm gonna take these things inside. Please give me just a minute. I have a gift for you. Really? She asked. Yeah, I'm a photographer also. Just hold on. I came back and gave her an 8x12 print of a mother and daughter walking along the beach at Point Reyes, which is actually the cover of the Jesus Sun Kill Moon 1 album, and a 5x7 print of a bag of limes from Oaxaca, Mexico. I selected that one. She told me that she loved Colombia and anything Latin. That her favorite places in the world were Colombia and India. I went inside, looked through my merch, got the prints, plus the Sun Kill Moon Amoeba CD. This is the closest thing I got, this photo of limes, to anything Latin in this photo. Was Point Reyes, California. It's a mother and daughter walking along the beach. I thought you might like this one. And since you don't know much about music, here's my latest CD. Laughs. It's a person who doesn't love music. I figured at least you'd like the artwork. That's my photography. The cover is Torokban, Hungary. The bridge house on the back cover was taken at a train station somewhere between Bratislava, Slovakia and Budapest. This is very nice of you, she said. Nice of me. I could have died of a heart attack or slip and hit my head on the way back up this mountain. This ride and the grocery stop and all this conversation is very nice of you. Actually, we do have a CD player at our house, and I'm gonna listen to this as soon as I get home. Whatever, I said. Use it for whatever you want. Use it as a coaster. Use it for kindling if you got a fireplace. Whatever purpose it serves. She laughed. I'm actually gonna listen to this, she said. Yeah, okay. You know, I told her, I'm gonna go inside and eat some food. Thank you so much. This kind thing you did for me doesn't happen in the USA, but I'm too tired to get into that. This drive to the grocery store and back to this place, I have no words, and it's very rare when I have no words for something. Anyhow, I gotta go now. It's been so nice to meet you. I was starting to cry, so I turned my face quickly to the right toward the door, picked up my things, and walked right to the door. Enjoy the rest of your day, she said from the car. I inhaled the mountain air deeply. You also, I said. I hope she heard me, because I just couldn't face her. When I closed the door, I looked out the window. She was backing her car down the slippery, curvy, muddy mountain road. I wow, she could do more than photography, an account, and raise a child, all pretty much on her own. She can also drive back this mountain in reverse. I only know how to do one of those things. Fairy tale Sunday, Sunday fairy tale, fairy tale Sunday, Sunday fairy tale, fairy tale Sunday, Sunday fairy tale, fairy tale Sunday, Sunday fairy tale. Fairy tale Sunday, Sunday fairy tale Sunday, Sunday fairy tale Sunday, Sunday fairy tale Sunday, Sunday fairy tale.